Good afternoon and welcome to Visions and Sound. My name is Rob Daniels, and this week is one of my many composer features that I've done this month. There's been a couple, so I'm continuing on with the trend. This week, composer is Michael A. Levine. Now, while Michael Levine's name may not be familiar to those who are credit watchers, which I am, I've noticed his name on the TV show Cold Case. Now, I had the opportunity to speak to Michael recently, and I'm very pleased to bring you my interview with him today. So, without further ado, here is part one of the interview that I did with composer Michael A. Levine.
All right. Well, let's start with what is your musical background?
Well, I was trained as a violinist. I still play violin as my primary instrument. Mm-hmm. Early on, I got involved in playing in rock and roll bands, and I ultimately ended up going to Berklee College of Music and received the diverse education that is available there, which I'm quite grateful for. You know, a little bit of classical, a little bit of jazz, a little bit of who knows what. Mm-hmm. So I played in all sorts of bands, you know, from rock bands to Armenian jazz band, an Irish group, country western bands, you know, did anything to pay the rent. And then ultimately, through doing work on dance records as a keyboard player, I ended up getting involved with music for advertising, and first as a player and then ultimately as a writer. And so that's what I did for a number of years. I wrote, my best-known contribution to Western culture to this date remains the Kit Kat Gimme a Break jingle.
Well, we'll get to that. So what first inspired you to write film and TV music?
Well, I loved film scoring from the time I was little. My parents would buy film score albums. I remember one that my mom liked a lot that really had a big influence on me was the Dr. Zhivago score. Mm-hmm. And actually anything by Marie Shar from that period, Lawrence of Arabia, whatever, were things that she bought. And he was probably the first composer for film where I really went, oh, you know, I understand how much difference this makes for the film. And when I saw those films, it was interesting. They were also unusual in that I was familiar with the score before I saw the film, which usually was the other way around in most of the film scores that I was familiar with as a kid. And so that really made me aware of the power of this. But I don't really think that it was something that I thought of as a profession until I got involved in doing music for advertising, and I went, these are like Persian miniatures. I'm very proud of the music I did for advertising, but it's 30 seconds long, and the great challenge is to deliver something that is compelling and interesting and musically valid in 30 seconds, but it's an awfully tiny canvas.
Mm-hmm. So what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
Well, I think the first steps are really conceptual. I really have to make sure I understand the story, and I'm reading a script. That's very helpful if I can have talk with the director. I mean, it depends on the medium. In film is more director-oriented. Television is more writer and producer-oriented. So I try to get as close as possible to the source of the idea first before I really start getting musical ideas. I like to work, at least have a conceptual jumping-off point, and then you work intuitively after that.
Mm-hmm. So when you've been asked to write some additional music for some films. Now, when writing an additional music for a particular film, do you work closely with the other composer, or are you just brought in?
It varies enormously. I worked on a couple things for Hans, actually more than are probably on my resume, because they're things that I've worked on that sort of were experiments that he had me do and then didn't ultimately use. But in that case, I mean, Hans is very much, he has a lot of people working for him, but he has very tight control over what he wants. And he is, I think it's sort of a slander that people say he doesn't score his own films. He really does. But he uses guys like Bruce Fowler and me and whatever to be his extra pair of hands and eyes. But I think that I've also had the experience, for example, in Wicker Park, which I did with Cliff Martinez, where it was much more of a collaboration. It was, I really contributed some specific melodic and harmonic ideas that I don't think Cliff would have thought of. And consequently, you see the score, the record of the score, the CD of the score, I'm actually credited as co-composer on 9 out of 11 the cuts that he's got on the CD, because that was a very different kind of experience, because that's what Cliff wanted. But it was, you know, it's Cliff's gig.
So do you, what's the main difference you find between scoring for TV as opposed to movies?
Well, I don't know if there is a main difference. Certainly, the size of the palette, that meaning that, you know, if an hour-long drama is 44 minutes long, and so the story arc is different. There are also continuing ideas, though, that go over the course of a season. So you've got material that, thematic material that you develop over a long period of time. And so in some ways it's a much smaller, it's about half the size of a film. In other ways it's many times the size of a film. Mm-hmm. And so it changes conceptually how you would approach it. But I would say that the difference between film and television, other than the mechanical things of, you know, the time you have to compose them and how your pay is structured and so forth, and that the in terms of a composing assignment, one television program can be more different from another than a television program in a film. The medium is less important than the story.
All right. So how did you first come to work on the TV series Cold Case?
Well, that was indirectly through Hans Zimmer, or rather directly through Hans Zimmer, actually, who recommended me to Jerry Bruckheimer's people for it, along with a number of other people that he thought might be appropriate for it, and they picked my CD out of a pile. I met with Meredith Steen, the show's creator, and one of the producers at the time, who was Sean Cassidy, and they liked me, and they hired me.
Mm-hmm. Now, because Cold Case deals with so many different eras, is there anything special you do to prepare for composing in those styles?
You know, I don't generally do the historical styles in that show. I have on a few occasions, mm-hmm. but generally speaking, they use licensed music from the era of the flashbacks to set time and place. And my job is more to be the continuity of the story of the cops or the story of the present-day people than it is to be to establish history. So there are a few occasions, for example, there was an episode set in 1929, and the recordings just were so lo-fi that they just didn't deliver the emotional impact that they wanted. Plus, the central character was supposed to be a songwriter, so I actually ended up writing a song with the episode writer for that episode, and we did historical-sounding recordings.
Mm-hmm. That's 300 Flowers, right?
That's right.
Cool. All right, so when you're writing for Cold Case, take us through I won't say a typical episode, because there's really no typical episodes for Cold Case, but kind of take us through your process when you first get the episode to when it's finally scored.
Well, for me, it starts with the script, and sometimes before that with the synopsis of it. I really like to have a conceptual viewpoint before I ever see the actual footage. I like to know what the story is and what it's about, because sometimes things don't translate as well as they should when they're shot. And it, again, as I said, television is sort of a writer's medium as opposed to filming, which is more of a director's medium. And so I want to make sure that I've got the writer's vision in the back of my mind. But once I see it, I start thinking about, well, what's the essence of this story? If I had to summarize in a sentence or two, what's this story about? That's where I start. And then there's almost always an episode theme for Cold Case, which relates to either a character or to the situation. And that I start thinking from the time I see the rough cut, where the appropriate places are for that. Now, Cold Case has its formulas at this point, and so I know there's a couple of key places where the episode theme is almost always played. When they discover the body in the first, in the teaser section before the main titles, and also where there is the actual reenactment of the murder, which occurs right toward the end. And so those two sections, I almost always know that I'm going to use the same new thematic material, and then I look for other places to weave into the story. And then there's sometimes continuing stories that have their leitmotifs and so forth, and then there's what I just call cold case music. I have a Lily Rush theme, I have transitional music material, and that stuff tends to be recycled and reworked and so forth, because it's, you're trying to establish continuity of ideas from one week to the next.
Uh-huh. And you're listening to a special presentation of the music of Michael A. Levine. If you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-2567. That's 884-CKMS. Or you can try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, moving on to a little bit of Michael's music. This is some music from the series Cold Case, including that 300 Flowers song.
said goodbye.
And with some music from the TV series Cold Case. That's music by Michael A. Levine, who I'm featuring on my my program today. So if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. Or you can try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, I'm going to continue on with some more of Michael's music, this time from a recent film, and this is called Adrift in Manhattan. This film premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. So have a listen, and I'll be back in just a little bit.
Through your eyes I can see, in the shadows a shimmer, a pure, perfect light to hold off the night. Through your eyes I have found I am free.
Thank you.